Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
Well, that's all that really matters, and we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you, too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Welcome to the DA Show's Trash Tuesday, everybody. Send us your trashes either on Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phones at 855-212-4227. We shall get to your gripes coming up through this hour of the show. But our next guest is a longtime former executive with the Oakland Raiders. She also is a member of that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network, Tops, from 8 a.m. until noon Eastern time, right here on our family of networks, again, the CBS Sports Network. And if today is a Trash Tuesday for the other 2 hours, this hour, it's a Trask Tuesday. Amy Trask joining us this morning on the show. Amy, good morning.
Well, good morning, and thank you for having me. And I am very glad we cleared up that distinction between Trask and Trash.
Absolutely, a very important distinction. And you should also know, I think you've been hit by DA Show Crossfire, because I think there was a listener on Twitter that thought he was tweeting at me about how much I disrespect the Patriots or I criticize the Patriots, and he happened to at mention you, and you kindly responded that you've been very fair about the Pats, don't make assumptions about you. So I just want you to know, that's not on you, that's their hatred for me today.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, you just imagine this. I spoke out on that other pregame show last week about the incident with the taping so strongly on behalf of the Patriots that someone actually tweeted at me asking if I was on the Patriots payroll. Can you imagine the silliness of that? And just to make it clear, I am not.
So you did not then think that this was a big deal. There's been some reports that perhaps the NFL could fine a hefty fine for the Patriots and or dock a lower end draft pick. You would think that that would be unnecessary?
Oh, no, I do think that the team should be penalized. I do think it was, you know, a big-ish deal. The distinction I made was this. I cited Hanlon's razor, and Hanlon's razor instructs us as follows. Don't attribute maliciousness or malicious intent to something that is simply dumb. I don't think the Patriots did this maliciously. I don't think it was mendacious. I do think it was dumb, and I do think they should be penalized, but I don't believe there was any intent here.
If true, if this was just being dumb, fairly startling, if not jaw-dropping, that of all the franchises that would just be, quote, dumb about taping sideline signals, how could the Patriots organization be so dumb?
Well, look, I think it's a situation where there was a lack of synergy, a lack of communication, a lack of coordination. I've long said that the most important words in business are communicate, cooperate, collaborate, and coordinate. And this seems to me to be an instance where the right hand didn't know what the left hand was doing. I'm not excusing it. I'm not saying it was okay. I'm not saying they shouldn't be penalized. I'm simply saying this was not an intent to do wrong. It was a big, fat oopsies. And they should be penalized. The other thing I was pointing out, and I won't belabor it, was the whole issue of you shouldn't lose a challenge when you use a challenge effectively, because they used a challenge in that game against Kansas City. They were right, and they were then out of challenges later in the game when a challenge could have won the game for them.
That's right.
So there you go. Now some people think I hate them, and some people think I love them, and maybe that's just called being fair.
It's called the beauty of this business. Everybody thinks we hate everybody all of the time. Amy Trask.
I hate no one.
Amy Trask joins us here on the show. Longtime decorated Raiders executive. I want to know, what were your emotions watching the scenes from the Oakland Coliseum on Sunday?
You know, it was surreal. I had the tremendous privilege and pleasure of joining JB on NFL Today. And the reason I note that is as I sat there with him on set, looking at the live shot to those magnificent Raider fans in the parking lot, each one of whom I could name and tell you who they are underneath those costumes, I got a lump in my throat. And I am, for those fans that are happy about the move and looking forward to the move, I'm happy for them. And for those fans who are heartbroken by the move, I'm heartbroken for them.
There was an element of this that I felt was really somber because I feel like if the NFL really wanted to keep the Raiders in Oakland, they could have dipped into that relocation pool that they have from the Rams and from the Chargers and found a way to bridge the gap between the stadium proposals in Oakland and what the Raiders were willing to get to. I felt like this was avoidable. Do you think it was?
I agree with you entirely, and I will go, and this was something Al used to say to me all the time. Let me go one step further with you. I agree with you, but I will also say I think the league could have done that with respect to the Chargers and San Diego.
Agreed.
So, yes and yes, and of course, those aren't mutually exclusive. They could have done both.
I agree, and that's what makes this a little sad, and it makes me wonder if the NFL actually wanted this outcome. They wanted a new Sterling Stadium in Vegas where they could then host their Vegas events and maybe a Super Bowl. And maybe they also wanted to, quote-unquote, clean up some of the stuff that was associated with the Raiders, that black hole, the riffraff that sometimes gets associated. Do you think that was part of the NFL wanting to sanitize the Raiders?
I think yes, with respect to some in the league office and who who are no longer in the league office. And yes, with respect to some in the league as a whole, but not with respect to everybody. So might there or was there an element of that with respect to some people? Yes. Was that the case with all the people? No.
Amy Trask joining us this morning on the show. Do you think that this was simply an incident where they said, hey, we've got a free stadium anyway, we'll take it instead of having to use our own money?
I don't know that that was the precise analysis. Look, Nevada did something that just is not going to be, nor am I suggesting it should be, done in California, which is contribute a tremendous amount of public money. Nevada did something not a lot of states would do, and I'm not suggesting they should do, but that certainly wasn't going to happen in California.
I also saw Mark Davis asked whether he was nostalgic on Sunday, and he said no. He said, no, he's not. And that kind of caught me off guard. I would think that even Mark, who might be excited about going to Las Vegas, would certainly have some emotion about that. Were you surprised at that reaction?
You know, the coincidental thing is I had not seen that. And then early this morning, a friend of mine emailed me that video clip, and I watched it while I was on the elliptical, and I'm not sure why I just bothered sharing that with you, a little bit too much information maybe. And I was taken aback by that. I was very taken aback by that, and the friend suggested to me that perhaps he was caught off guard, and my reaction was, how can you be caught off guard? You're playing your last game in a stadium in a community which has a tremendous relationship with the organization. You know the media is going to be asking you questions, so I don't know that it was being caught off guard, but I, too, was very, very, very surprised by that.
I don't think he was caught off guard. My sense was that maybe he feels like he's been painted as the villain and maybe in some ways has turned on the city of Oakland saying, you know what, I'm happy to be out of here because then no longer do they have me to kick around.
But I don't think, I'm sorry, I apologize. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So that's, I mean, because of course you'd have to be nostalgic after, I mean, how many decades in Oakland and being the son of Al Davis, how could you not be nostalgic?
Well, but I also don't think he has been painted as the villain. When you look at the manner in which Dean Spanos has been treated, and I'm not suggesting, you know, I'm not maligning anyone, but I'm saying if you look at the manner in which the move of the Chargers and Charger ownership has been treated in the media down in San Diego and by the public, and the manner in which Stan Kroenke was treated, I don't think the Raiders have been treated poorly at all by the media in the Bay Area or the fans in the Bay Area. I don't see that. I actually think that the media and the fans in the Bay Area have been very understanding.
Sounds like we lost Amy Trask there to a bad phone line, but we'll try to get her back up here. Amy Trask, longtime executive of the Oakland Raiders and going back to their L.A. days as well, now a member of the Tops, that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. And that's the one thing that's always going to sit really poorly in my craw, is that this was avoidable, that if the NFL really wanted to keep the Raiders in Oakland, they could have done so. And I brought up this point. If the Packers got a stadium deal from Las Vegas and they couldn't find the same stadium deal in Green Bay, the NFL would step in and make sure there was a stadium deal done. They would not let the Packers leave, but they were willing to let the Raiders leave. Amy is back with us. And Amy, I think you're right.
Did I talk too much?
No.
Did you hang up on me? Was I yakking too much? No. I was in the middle of such a pithy little point and you hung up on
No. But it's interesting because I think you're right. I think for the most part, the sense that I got from reading and listening to Bay Area reports about this past weekend was not an anger, more of just a wistfulness. And I think you're right. It didn't feel like Mark Davis has been unfairly painted as the villain there.
No, and I don't know where you slammed the phone down on me, and obviously I'm kidding, I'm teasing. I've been noting this entire time that the media and the fans in the Bay Area have been gracious and understanding and very, very fair and then some towards the Raider organization and ownership. Far different, you know, look, the Raiders have been treated by the community with respect to this move far differently than the Rams and the Chargers and their respective owners. I think, if anything, they've gone beyond being fair.
What's the realistic expectation, though, of Raider fans traveling? I mean, I know that the idea is, oh, sure, Vegas is a fun place to go. It's not a long flight. But at the same time, you've got to then save up for flights and hotels for families to go there. That feels to me to be a little unrealistic to think that there's going to be a lot of fans that do that every weekend.
Well, I'll answer that in two ways. One, there are Raider fans now who don't live in or around Oakland, who fly to the Bay Area for games. And for those fans, whether they take that flight that lands in Oakland or that lands in Las Vegas, I don't know, is an enormous distinction. And there are some Bay Area fans who will travel to the game. The bulk of the Raider fans in the Southern California area are in an area we call the Inland Empire, which is further to the east by quite a distance. Those fans are in a pretty quick 3.5 hour or so drive to Las Vegas, and they may well drive to the game. But the other side of that equation, if you will, is that the Raiders are going to have to get ready for a paradigm shift. Right now, you go to a Raider game in Oakland, and you've got, what, 97% of the fans there are Raider fans? I think that's going to be far different in Las Vegas.
Right.
Look, we all saw Chevy Chase in Vegas Vacation. And if you're a fan of a team that's playing the Raiders on the road, and you can go to one game a year to see your team play, I mean one road game, a lot of those fans are going to pick Vegas. So I think the Raiders are going to have to get used to a lot more visiting teams in the stadium.
That's a really great point. Amy Trask joining us from that other pregame show, Tops, that's on the CBS Sports Network from 8 a.m. until noon Eastern time every single Sunday. It's such a good show, and Amy's such a good follow on Twitter as well. Find her there for the latest insights on the NFL. Amy, it's always a real pleasure to have you here on the show. Thanks so much for doing it.
Thank you. The pleasure is really and truly always mine. I appreciate it.
Amy Trask joining us this morning on the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.